Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Create an Unreal Life. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be welcoming our very special guest, Clayton Anger. But before I do that, I'd just like to take a few minutes up front just to talk about how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call that you've attended. Now, we're actually going to be on the line for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Clayton a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own questions, but the vast majority of the questions will be actually questions that have been submitted through the site prior to this call kicking off. Do listen out for your question, but if you do not hear your question, please also listen very carefully to the questions of other people, because you may actually find that your questions answered indirectly through the other questions as well. Now, I've only known Clayton. He's a relatively new friend. He was introduced to me by a very good friend of mine, Louise Langley, who has also been a guest on People You Should Meet. And Louise just said to me, look, Damien, you should definitely have a chat to Clayton. He's doing some incredible things in the world. His work is really inspiring a lot of people, and he's really got a powerful message about how to really connect with who you are, how to stand in your own personal truth, and how to actually be really powerful in your own authentic expression of who you are at the deepest level. And as soon as she gave me an insight into what Clayton was all about, I got immediately very, very excited and, followed up with him. And shortly thereafter, he's now a guest on People You Should Meet. So I'd like to welcome Clayton to the call. How are you doing there, Clayton?
I am doing fantastically well. Thank you, Damien, and thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I must thank Louise later when I speak with her.
Cool. Now, I thought we'd actually just start right at the very top, Clayton, just by exploring the topic of how to create an unreal life. And yep. I'm just wondering if you could just, for everyone at home, just actually explain what you mean by an unreal life.
Okay, well, the thing with what do I mean with an unreal life will mean very, very different things to different people who are on the call. The most important thing is that people who are listening at home really take the time to understand what an unreal life actually means to them. But what I can do is to talk about it from my own perspective and talk about it in relation to the feedback that people have shared and the experience that people have shared through working with me and also those people who attended my retreats. Starting right at the top, the very first thing about when people are living an unreal life, they're very much in their flow. Everything seems to be very, very natural. Everything seems to be at ease. In terms of the measures to that, what comes out of, certainly through a lot of the research that I've done, through the work that I've done with people who work with me, is the feelings and the emotions that will come out of it. So, for example, people tend to experience very intense positive feelings. They can feel very happy. They can feel free. They can certainly feel alive. They can feel passionate. You know, anything that has a very high-end positive feeling and emotion attached to it. The other thing that also comes with living an unreal life is people's physiology is always very up, very upright. They walk. They seem to present themselves in life in a very powerful way. It's just whatever life throws at them, they seem to be able just to take it in their stride, deal with it, and carry on moving forward. The other thing that comes out of it is that from an energetic perspective, people who are living an unreal life will have a very, very high energy. And often that comes through feelings of feeling great. Also, the energy that's attached with the positive feelings and emotions is, again, very, very high. And also the indications of the things that people really sort of say to themselves. So people will, I'll give you some examples there from the retreat. There's one lady who came on the retreat and said, hey, come on, you're all right, Jonesy. People say, I'm unstoppable, bring it on. Everything, you know, I can take on the world. The way in which people approach life is very, very different compared to when they could be getting caught up in some of the negativity, and we'll talk about the reasons why that negativity happens as we get into the call. You know, and finally, one of the other indicators of people living an unreal life is the way in which they treat other people. So, you know, we seem to be more tolerant, we seem to be more caring, more understanding, we show more warmth towards other people. So in terms of the people who are at home who are listening, it's about looking at how you feel and noticing the things that are going on around you. Now, some people on the call say, yeah, I experienced this some of the time and not all the time, and we'll go into the not all the time a little bit later. But when people are living an unreal life, you experience these feelings and emotions consistently. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. That's something like a really, I'm glad you actually touched on that, Clayton, the whole notion of the extremes, because I think in our culture there is a conditioning process that tries, like something I call flatlining, where it tries to encourage people to live that moderate, reasonable life, where things aren't too great, they're not too bad, but just that comfortable, easy flatlining all the way through life. And for me personally, I just don't think that human beings are created to live in that way, and I know people who try and live that way end up not really experiencing a lot of joy in their lives.
I would absolutely agree with you. As human beings, and you know, when we get into answering people's questions, one of the things I do want to touch on is the true meaning of human being. And one of the things that does come out with that, and you're absolutely right, from a human being perspective, we are not meant to live a moderate existence. You know, we are meant to be here to truly experience the very, very best of who we are. And, you know, there are lessons that we do need to learn as we go through life, but each of the lessons that are presented to us are geared up so that we can experience, you know, more intensity of the positive feelings and emotions for being here. You know, so I absolutely agree with you wholeheartedly, and there is very, very specific reasons which we'll go into as we get into the call about why we do experience the extremes.
Awesome. Now, all the different qualities that you mentioned there, Clayton, they're quite an inspiring set of behaviours and ways of actually operating in the world. And I was just wondering, like, have you always worked in that way in life, or has it been a journey for you to uncover all these different secrets?
It's very, very much been a journey. I used to be an accountant and tax consultant, if I go back sort of 10, 15 years, and at that time it was very, very much about money. It was about making money, and it was very, I'm going to use the word, unfulfilling. I was a reasonably good accountant. I got by, but from a personal enjoyment about everything we've just described, about living that unreal life, about living a fulfilled life, I would probably say maybe 1% of everything that was there, I lived and experienced on a daily basis. You know, and everybody has their own journey, and it's very important that people focus upon their own journey. Sometimes we can get very caught up and wrapped up in what's going on in other people's world, and we can start, you know, saying, okay, well, I don't have this, or, you know, my friend has this, but I don't have it. But, you know, the thing is, this is about really focusing on you. This is about really understanding your truth, and it's about really living your truth and living in a way that you are totally true to who you are. And that can be very, very challenging for some people, especially when you've got, you know, friends or potentially family around you who don't understand that or don't live in that way. But we'll get on, you know, as we go through the call, explaining some of the ways in which you can support yourself when you have sort of people around you who don't believe in, you know, what it is that you want to do. But coming back to my own journey, yeah, there's been a lot of learning, a lot of challenges along the way. Certainly from once being the tax accountant that I was to the type of work that I do now. And the interesting thing is I know that you want to talk to me about it, is that I will I also take this work into the corporate environment, and with some amazing results. But in terms of my own journey, if I think about my own journey over the last 5 years, I've left the professions. I started my own consultancy. I'm now running sort of retreats on an international basis. I've gone through a divorce. I've, grown a wonderful relationship with my daughter. I now have the most amazing twin flame soulmate with my beautiful wife, Lindsay, who we recently got married this year. So I've gone through a lot of learning and a lot of journey myself, and a lot of the stuff that I teach comes from my own experiences, and it's also about through observation of other people's experiences as well, because as we go through life, other people's journeys can also be a mirror to some of the things that we need to learn as well.
Well, that's really, really powerful. Now, I'm going to sort of pick up a couple of things that just pop in there. And one of the things that I've personally been thinking a lot about recently was actually came up in an improvisation acting class that I did a few weeks ago. And the actual class teacher was exploring why one of our little acting routines didn't actually work as a story. And he said that one of the main reasons why it didn't work as a story was because we didn't have a real clarity around when that story was meant to end. And I guess through your life experience, you mentioned a couple of endings there, like an ending of a career and also like an ending of a marriage.
Yep.
I was just wondering, in terms of like the spiritual journey, what sort of role do you see endings playing in terms of helping people to step on their path?
Okay, I in the past, I probably looked at endings as pretty painful. Now I look at them as an opportunity to move forward, as a beginning to the next stage of my journey. But that, having that outlook is sometimes very challenging for people. I have a strong belief that things very much happen for a reason. I believe that people will come into our lives to help us to get lessons to be able to move forward. Sometimes people will come into our lives for a very, very short space of time, if we get stuck, to be able to give us that energetic move forward, that kick forward to help us to get that clarity. It may be just for a short moment in time. I remember years ago I was on holiday, and I was going through some challenging times in my marriage, and I was away, and I sat down in a coffee shop, and this lady just came over and sat down next to me. And what she said was, you don't have to shut people out of your life. What you can do is, if you imagine, a gas cooker, all you need to do is just turn the heat down on it to the point that it gets down to the pilot light. And when you get to that pilot light, you can then carry on through your journey until the point arises when it's necessary for that person to come into your life. And also, other people are on their own journeys as well, and sometimes we need to be the leaders that we wish to see into the world and not walk past us. So if we walk past us, we are preventing other people from getting the lessons that they need to learn. And one of the challenges, or one of the biggest lessons that I had, is I went through a stage of making everything about me, and it was very much from a selfish perspective, and I was blaming other people about different things that weren't happening for me. And then as a result of that, I wasn't sharing how I was truly feeling with myself. I wasn't taking responsibility for that. And then as a result of that, other people around me weren't getting their lessons, weren't able to move their own life forward, because there was an interaction with me that was going on, and that was particularly one of the cases with my marriage at the time. And we all get specific learnings. If I go back to that time, I was delivering a lot of different types of retreats, or different types of weekend events that I do now. And one of the things that I started to do was realize that my own learning and what I was creating was moving faster than what I was actually living it, and I realized that I wasn't congruent. And as a result of that, I shut down the events and stopped actually delivering them. And it was like 3-4 years later when I started to run them again. And now they're in a very, very different guise, very and a lot more powerful because I'm congruent and totally and live with integrity around what it is that I'm teaching.
That's a really, really powerful distinction. Now, I was just also wondering, Clayton, look, similar to you, I started off my career in the accounting world and before being very swiftly moved on. And I was just wondering if you found it a really natural progression to move from the world of tax accounting to then become a spiritual guide for people.
Very, very quick answer, no, it wasn't the most easiest thing to do. Because when I first left the professions, I really didn't know what it was I wanted to do. I think because why did I leave would be the first question. I left because it was too painful to stay. If I think about my own journey through my own life, I knew I was always very gifted spiritually, didn't really understand it. At the age of seven, I totally shut it down. And it wasn't until I started to leave the professions that I would probably say that the universe conspired to make it painful for me within the workplace, so that I sort of I was forced to leave. Not, you know, not under a cloud or anything like that, but it was just more a force within myself. And then I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I started, you know, I spoke to a lot of friends, you know, and said, oh, you know, what is it you think I should be doing? And they all sort of said coaching, training, speaking. And at the time, I had a lot of fear around all those kinds of things. The irony is I now teach a lot of it, which is quite interesting. And but again, that's been a progressive journey. I didn't want to put something out into the world that was the same that was already there. So probably I didn't read a book or anything like that for a couple of years. Everything that I created was through channeling and through meditation. And it was proving to get some very significant results for people. But, you know, I started off with coaching. I didn't want to, having come from a corporate environment, didn't want to go back into the corporate environment. So I started to work with individuals. And then from working with individuals, my name just that naturally started to move around. So I was then invited to speak at the Ministry of Defense and run an event at the Ministry of Defense. We got some incredible results from there. It then moved on to Lloyd's TSB, but everything was still around corporate. And I would probably say it was my beautiful wife, Lindsay, that really helped me to get firmly on this path. You know, I was doing readings for people privately and certainly wasn't out in the marketplace like I am today. And she said, you know what, Clayton, you've got a real gift with this. You need to be sharing this with people. You need to be sharing it with the world. And she started introducing me to some of her friends who were saying the same thing. And so it was probably about only 18 months ago that I actually came out of the closet as a psychic medium. And then I found that all my corporate clients were very interested in it, and I started to read for them. I then started to do corporate retreats for them. And then I was introduced to one of my my guides who came back into my life this lifetime, a very powerful master shaman called Kestrel. And I attended Kestrel's 12-month course on shamanism, and it reawakened everything that was going on within me to such a powerful extent. And I think if there was one turning point, it was probably about 12 months ago, probably a little bit longer than that now, I was out in nature. One of the things we had to do as part of the course was meditate in nature for 24 hours alone. And a lot of very profound things happened to me in terms of alignment. A lot of clarity came out about running events. And a very great friend of mine, Mamandi, who's a very powerful psychic, gave me a reading at the beginning of this 24 hours. And she said, it's now time for you to start doing the retreat. And so I relaunched everything that I was doing, and from where we were then to where we are now, it's been a journey in itself with incredible learning around the true purpose of ego, incredible learning about the interaction between the ego and the higher self. And, you know, I've really started to embed everything that I teach into, you know, into my life with some really profound results. And so it's not been, you know, walking out of the professions and straight into, wow, this is, you know, this wonderful, unreal life. It's been a journey in itself. You know, my journey continues every day. You know, do I have challenges? Yeah, of course I have challenges. But I now know why I have them. I now know what action I can take to overcome them. I understand why, you know, I've got my beautiful wife Lindsay in my life, because we have an opportunity to sit and to bounce things off each other. So it's been a journey, and I'm continuing to be on my journey. And it's really important for people to realize that everybody is on their own journey. And people, you know, there is no finish line. It's, you know, people will just continue to go through life, and it's about really experiencing the very best of who you are by being true to who you are in your heart and your soul.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, Clayton. There's so many of the guests I have on, people you should meet, literally have gone through real journeys to really uncover their gifts. And you know, just listen with interest there, that you just very early on in life you're very aware of your gifts, and then they got buried down, and then just you had to go through a process to then reconnect and start openly sharing that with other people. And yeah, I just think just going through that kind of process, like I guess you've got an intimate understanding of what it's like to actually stand in your truth, and just that really, really personally resonated with me.
I think okay. It's, you know, about standing in your truth is I also know what it's like, as will everybody who's listening, to know what it's like not to stand in the truth, and the type of existence, emphasis on existence that people live and that I've lived in the past. And it's very, very much about living your truth, about speaking your truth, and really understanding what it is that your heart and your soul and your ego want to share with you and to teach you in your journey.
Great. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, Clayton, we've had a lot of questions coming from people from all over the world on the topic. I'm just going to run through some of them now. Now, I've got a question from Kelly in the United States, and Kelly asks, how can I stop myself from standing in my way? I have this great feeling deep down that everything is going to be fine, but it's like I go back and forth between peace and fear and anxiousness. Can you help?
I think this is just an absolutely fantastic question. Let's give people some information now which they can really, really start to work with and help them to get some clarity. In answering this question, what I want to talk about is the true meaning of the words human being and what it means to actually be human being. And I want to talk about each part separately initially, and then I'll talk about it in more depth. If you take the word human to start off with, you often go through life and you hear people, you know, we very rarely hear people describe themselves as a human being. Everything is human. And this is very much a reflection of the way that society is today. Now, I have seen some very, very talented gymnasts and ballerinas, and they can do some incredible things with their physical bodies. But no matter what they can do with it, it's still very restrictive in its form and in its capabilities. The human is actually physical. It's also very head-driven, and it communicates through the body, through thoughts, through feelings, through emotions, which is very, very important, which I will come to in a little while. Also, the human part of human being is where the ego resides. And specifically, the ego will communicate through the energy center of the solar plexus. And this is a very powerful personal power center. The human element of who we are actually only represents 1% in the majority of people. In some, with the people that I have connected with and read for, sometimes the 1% can be a little bit bigger, and I'll give you some specific examples of that as we go through. The other thing about the human existence, it's very much when we get caught up in our head, fulfillment is temporary, We tend to focus on the 1% of everything that we don't have. We can get caught up in blame, and there's also there's this perception that we're in control, whereas the actual reality is that we are controlled by circumstance, by situations, and by potentially by forces or people outside of us because we allow that to happen. And also when we get caught up within our head, within the human part of who we are, we can become very reactive in nature, which I'll also go through. If we now come on to being, being is very, very much the purest expression of who you are. It's non-physical. It's endless. It has no boundaries. It doesn't have any restrictive patterns. The being is very heart-driven, and it's also where the higher self resides. And the other very powerful personal power center, it relies within the heart energy center, and that's where the higher self will also reside and communicate to you through your heart. The higher self is programmed with life's learnings, and I'm going to come into that in more detail, is primarily learnings from this life and also from past life. And the higher self represents, for the majority, 99% of who we are, and it also has very much a proactive outlook. Now, in answer to Kelly's question, a lot of people have these wonderful ideas which very much come from the higher self. They're very creative. They say, wow, this, you know, if I do this, I'm going to feel, they just know they'll be totally fulfilled. And they start taking action, and then all of a sudden, their head gets in the way. And a little voice pops up that says, you know, you're not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or can I make this happen? No, you can't. And so, and then you start to experience all these negative feelings, this fear, this anxiety, this anxiousness that Kelly mentioned. And so what actually happens is our head actually gets in the way of the heart. Now, what happens is as we go through life, if people live in a head existence, their life can become very fear-driven, can become very negative feeling and emotion type-driven, and they only ever experience 1% of who they are. What happens is that it's not about being human and living in the head, and it's also not about living within the heart. It's about both. It's about creating the unity and the alignment between the head and the heart. Now, I had experienced myself something very recently where my heart actually got in the way of my head, and I was living this existence where I was experiencing, I was sort of in this world, but not of it. And it was very, very bizarre because what I found was I was actually starting to sabotage some of the things that were around me. And it was a very, very challenging situation, especially in terms of my relationships. And the very interesting thing that came out of it was that I realized that I was only loving my heart, my higher self, and I wasn't loving my ego. And I'm going to come on to the importance of loving both sides of us as we go through the rest of the explanation. So, you know, it's not about, I'll recap, it's not about us living in our head and it's not about us living in our heart. It's not one or the other. It's always, 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 in quotes, underlined, both. It's about creating the unity between the head and the heart because the head and the heart work in tandem. And, you know, and if I can, I'd like to build on Kelly's question and talk very much about the true purpose of ego. Is that all right, Dan?
Yeah, sure, go for it, yeah.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah, go for it.
what happens is this, and I'm going to use the word pop spirituality. From a pop spirituality perspective, there's a lot of negative connotations out in the marketplace about ego. Now, the ego has a very, very specific purpose. And that purpose is to teach. Okay? So, and these are the indicators that come from the ego. Every single time people experience negative feelings, negative emotions, negative internal chatter, No, you're not worthy. I'm not good enough. You're too fat. All these different types of things. Even negative behavior like procrastination. What happens is these are indicators from the ego teacher that there is something for you to learn. Now, what can happen is people can, what I talk about is top down, they can start focusing on the things that they want to have in their life. Now, I've got to have more money. I've got to have this great relationship. I've got to have this big house, as opposed to understanding, creating that unity between the head and the heart and saying, okay, who am I? What if I could create my life in a way that would honor my existence, so I can honor who I am in my heart and my soul, what would my life be like? Now, the thing is this, what people don't realize is the ego and the higher self, the head and the heart, want the same thing. And this is sometimes a real challenge for people. Let me talk about where this came from. A great friend of mine called Paul Cobley, unfortunately passed away about 12 months ago. And Paul was a great teacher to me when he was here, and also when he died. And a lot of people talk about this, when we die, that the soul actually leaves the body. And I don't know whether people who are on the call have actually ever seen a dead body. Now, I went to visit Paul in the Chapel of Rest, and when I saw his body, whilst he looked very, very much at peace, the life force, was not there. The soul had left. The higher self had left. But my question was, what happened to his ego? His ego also left. Now, why was this? The reason is because the ego self and the higher self are the same thing. Okay, I'll repeat that. The ego self and the higher self are the same thing. And they want the same thing. They both want to experience joy. Now, the challenge is they both have different types of personality. So what do I mean? So, for example, the ego is very short-term focused. And one of the things that came out for me in my own journey was very much around the lines of my diet and my way of eating. And I found that I was consuming chocolate. We're not talking like one or two bars a week. We're talking like five or six bars a day. I found that I was consuming coffee. And the interesting thing was that on the 1st of May this year, I gave up coffee. I also gave up chocolate. And then very, very shortly after that, replaced it with tea and cake. And I wanted to understand the reasons why. And what it was coming down to is that my ego was wanting repetitive, short-term fixes, experiences. And I needed to understand why that was happening. So, and this is what I learned, is that the ego contains all of the learning that you need to learn this lifetime. I'll repeat that. The ego contains all the learning and the lessons for this lifetime only. Okay? And so how do we get the answers to that learning? Well, the important thing to remember is that what the ego contains, the learning, the higher self, the heart, contains the answers to those learnings. So there must be an interactive process. So for those people who are sort of having repetitive things that are happening, negative internal chatter, things suddenly pop up and then all of a sudden they're down again, it's because you haven't got all of the learning that you need to get. So let me answer a question. How do you learn from your ego teacher? How do you learn from your ego teacher? Well, the first thing is to have awareness that you are caught up in your ego. So if you are experiencing negative feelings, negative emotions, negative internal chatter, negative behaviors like procrastination, And what I mean by that is two classic ones of mine from the past was watching too much TV or surfing the internet. The awareness creates presence. So what the awareness does is it brings you very much into the moment. It brings you into the now. And it's at that point you have a choice. And your choice is, do I react in this situation? Which means that you're making a choice to go back into your ego and to react. Or do I make a conscious, proactive choice to make a change either in my life or in a given situation? So for me, in terms of my diet and the way that I was the way that I was eating and having the short-term fixes, you know, I needed to make a proactive choice. Now the thing is this: what I didn't know at the time, which came up later, was why I replaced the coffee and chocolate with tea and cake. And the reason was because I didn't take ownership and responsibility for my behavior. And once I did that, I was then able to change very much the course of the way in which I eat now, the exercise regimes that I follow, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that will, I hope that gives people an insight into some of the reasons why they will be experiencing the things that they're experiencing. I know through answering some of the other questions, they'll be able to give you more information.
That's really powerful. Just two distinctions then there that really stood out for me was one, the ego self and the higher self actually being the same thing, and also that the ego contains all the lessons for this lifetime. I think both of those are just, those distinctions are absolute dynamite, and I certainly look forward to learning more about it as we go along in the call. Now, also have a question here from Sherry in South Africa, and Sherry asks, how do you prevent wrong thought patterns from reasserting themselves? Why are there only fleeting revelations of truth which quickly disappear again?
Okay, so let's build on a little bit more about the ego. What happens is this, is that when you have these fleeting moments of truth and then all of a sudden you get caught up again, what that means is you haven't got all of the lesson. Okay? And it's very much about noticing what is going on around you, noticing the similarities of events that can happen for you. And also, this, you know, in terms of what I mean by events is this. Let me give you a personal example. In the UK, we have speed cameras. And speed cameras in the UK is that every time you get caught by a speed camera, you get 3 points on your license. Now, if you imagine a spiral that starts wide on the outside and then narrows into the middle, every time you have a significant event or a significant feeling and emotion that arises in relation to an event, there's a piece of learning for you to experience. So there may be some men or some women out there that are saying, you know, I always seem to attract the same type of person in a relationship. This is the reason why. So it's about really looking at, you know, the feelings and the emotions that you have around relationships. But I want to come back to this specific example around speed cameras. Lindsay, my wife, and I were dashing all over the place. And we were driving, and speed camera would go off, and we'd get 3 points. I would be driving, say, in the first situation. A few weeks later, Lindsay would be driving and get caught by a speed camera. And as each of these significant events happen, we're moving around the spiral, getting closer and closer to the center, to the point where I had 10 points on my driver's license and Lindsay had 12. And we were on the verge of, you know, of causing our life some serious problems, but we still weren't learning the lessons. We still weren't connecting with our ego teacher. And at this point in my own journey, I wasn't aware of the ego teacher or the true purpose of what was happening until very much later, and I was able to put the dots together. The closer you get to the center of the spiral, the more painful it will get for you. So what happened in terms of our journey is that Lindsay was working with me on an event with Lloyd's TSP, and we had a specific training room, and next to the training room was a little coffee shop bar area where we got teas and coffees. And one day, Lindsay went and got a cup of tea and was moving from the bar area back into the training room and slipped and broke her foot. So this is another event about moving quickly. It was then about 6 weeks later, we were on our way to the hospital. Lindsay got to the hospital. I was driving her. She went in an ambulance because what happened was we had a car accident on the way. It wasn't that I was going quickly because it was a very bright sun. I'd moved down. I was on the left-hand side of the road, and I actually didn't see the car in front of me and went into the back of the car. So all of these different types of things are significant events that are happening. Now, when you choose to get the lessons and the learning from your, from working with the interaction of the ego teacher and the higher self, it's at that point that you will start to consistently move forward in your life. And that's the reason that these things will keep showing up and keep showing up and keep showing up until you get that lesson from the ego teacher.
Mm. I can certainly relate to that personally. I think with my own personal career, like working in the corporate world was particularly painful. And it was something that I didn't really want to look at because I was getting well paid and there's a lot of money and status and keeping people happy associated with living in that way. And yeah. I guess for me, the knocks kept getting louder and louder and louder, and then the actual the kicker was having a near-death experience on the freeway at the expense of a massive road truck coming at about 100 miles an hour. And like as soon as that event actually happened, I climbed out of the wreck and just said, I'm listening now. You've got my full and undivided attention. But I certainly just wholeheartedly agree with the fact that if you don't listen, the knocks will progressively get
louder. There's just something else that's coming in that I need to share. If you imagine a satellite navigation, okay, and you put in that satellite navigation, your destination, and the place where you want to go to meet your true heart's desires, and you start upon your journey, and you're totally in your flow, you're enjoying, you're getting these incredible results, doors are opening for you, opportunities are being presented to you, and then all of a sudden you experience this element of doubt. Everything is too good to be true. And your head starts getting in the way, so the internal chatter starts to fire up, that anxiety starts to kick in. What happens in some cases, okay, is that people can be so close to achieving their goal, and then all of a sudden they have this anxiety that will kick in. And some people will push that feeling and emotion down rather than look at it and observe it and say, okay, what is going on? Where is it in my body? What is it that I need to know? What is it that I need to learn? Having the awareness creating the presence bringing it into the now, making that conscious choice to be able to take a certain course of action. And what happens is that when you push that energy down, because that is all it is, you then change direction. And you change direction unconsciously. I was speaking at an event very, very recently, and I threw a curveball at some of the hypnotherapists in the room. And there was a lady there who got a little bit upset about one of the things that I was sharing. And what it was I shared is the thing is with ego is the ego is unconscious. And she, and this lady said, no, that's absolutely crazy. How could it be unconscious? And I said, and I just very, very gently just said to her, I said, do you get out of bed every single morning and consciously say to yourself, you're too fat, you're not worthy, you're not good enough? Do you consciously feel fear? Do you consciously feel the anxiety? Do you consciously experience doubt? Do you consciously experience guilt? Do you consciously procrastinate? Or do you all of a sudden find yourself maybe sat in front of the TV, or do you find yourself surfing the internet and all of a sudden this time has come by? This is because the ego is unconscious. And so what we need to do is the awareness brings the feelings, the emotions into our conscious awareness, brings it into the now so we can learn from it. And all you have to do to learn from it is just to meditate on it. And that is just to pause and just to connect with your heart. Sometimes, on the retreats, people just will put their hands on their heart and they'll ask themselves, okay, what is it I need to learn in this situation? And then they get the answer and they just, wow, that was just amazing. They start to move forward. It's only energy, and energy can be released. by just taking ownership.
It just reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, awareness is curative. And then just having the insight alone can be enough to transform a situation. Now, I have a question here from Mary, and Mary's in the UK. And yep. Mary asks, even though we may think that we have released most of our limited beliefs, sometimes residues exist. If we have released many layers, how do we get rid of the last layer, if at all? More always come up?
That's a really, really great question. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about it from a shamanic perspective, and the way in which I share it with people that I work with. The first thing to realize is that I just want to talk about oneness and what oneness means. The true meaning of oneness is about creating that unity between the ego self, the ego teacher, and the higher self. If you imagine that the ego represents 1% of who you are and the higher self represents 99% of who you are, together they make 100%, they make a whole, so a oneness. And a lot of people will say, okay, well, I experience my intuition in my ego center, in my solar plexus. Now, the thing is this, is that when we are speaking our truth, when we are living our truth, when we're being true to who we are, what we actually feel and experience is that the ego center and the heart center, so the solar plexus and the heart, will both vibrate. And this is what I want to bring me on to answering Mary's question. When we experience trauma, okay, I'll repeat that, when we experience trauma, and that may be through a car accident, it may be something more severe, so someone may get abused or something like that, what happens is a piece of our soul tears, okay, and leaves our soul body. And that then, as it leaves, it goes to a place within the consciousness where it actually feels safe. And within shamanic teachings, the consciousness is split into three worlds, the lower world, the middle world, and the upper world. And the lower world is represented by, say, from a chakra perspective, the base chakra, the sacral and the belly button, and also the ego center. The middle world is represented by the heart center and the throat, and the upper world is represented by the third eye, the crown, the dream center at the back, and the causal, which is above you. And so what will happen is when you experience a trauma, the soul will tear and it will go and reside in one of these three worlds. What then happens is it creates this void. Now, what goes into that void is all the negative feelings, emotions, situations, behaviors, everything that is associated with that trauma. And that trauma happens for you to learn a lesson, okay, for you to get a specific piece of learning. Now, I was watching a program on the TV where a young girl was violently attacked in her own journey, and was in this beautiful place of joy in relation to it. And she said, "Wow!" She said, "You know, there are polarities with it. You know, at some extremes, you're going to experience real pain, which she experienced, and at the other extreme, you're going to experience this real peace of joy." But if you move to the center, there is only love. And she was able to get to this place of love for herself. And so what happens is that this void gets filled with all the negative feelings, the emotions, everything to do with that situation, that circumstance. And all that represents is, you know, it's energy and learning. And as you go through life, as you get the various pieces of learning that you need to get through situations that you will be presented with, the energy will leave. Now, sometimes what can happen is that in a past life, you may have experienced a trauma. So you may have been betrayed, for example, by family. And what happens is at that point in that particular lifetime, you didn't get all the lesson and all the learning that you needed to get. So it will move over into this lifetime. So what happens at the point of incarnation, when you come back onto this, into the next stage of your journey, so this plane, the earth plane, what happens is the higher self and the ego self separate, so they split. So the soul is one, split to create the ego, and that ego gets imprinted with all the lessons and all the learnings, and the higher self gets imprinted with all the learnings from the previous lifetimes. And it's at that point that you then incarnate, and the ego becomes the ego, and the higher self becomes the higher self. Now, as you get the lessons, okay, from the ego teacher, the energy then gets released. And what then happens is as the energy gets released, that void then becomes clear of all those negative feelings, all those negative emotions, all that procrastination, those negative behaviors, and it creates a clear void now. And it's at that point that you can then invite that piece of soul to rejoin you. Now, what may be happening for Mary is that she may have cleared the void, okay, but she hasn't invited the piece of soul back. And what she can do is that she can do it herself, and that's just by through gentle meditation and connecting with her heart, connecting with the feelings, the emotions, connecting wherever that feeling or emotion resides within her physical body, and invite that piece of soul back in. And it's at that point that she will start to feel more integrated within who she is. I hope that answers the question for Mary.
That is a very, very powerful answer. I'm sure that's resonated with lots of people out there. Now, Clayton, we're actually, time has flown this evening. It feels like we're just really getting stuck into it now, but we've actually come towards the end of our call. That's what happens when you come completely present to the moment. I've certainly just been totally captivated by the things that you shared this evening. I've been furiously taking notes and just made some really, really powerful distinctions for myself, and I have no doubt that people on the call have actually had very, very similar experiences this evening. And I was just wondering if you could actually share with everyone, you've mentioned throughout the call that you do run retreats internationally, and I was just wondering if you could give people a heads up about what retreats you may have coming up, but also how people could get in touch with you and deepen their understanding of your work.
Of course. I'm very grateful that you allow me to talk about it. First of all, how to get in contact with me. The easiest way to get in contact with me is by email. And my email is Clayton, Clayton, at Clayton, Clayton, Ainger, Ainger.com. Also, people argue that my cell number, my cell is +44 7894 861. I'll repeat that, 07894-861-277. The retreat is a very profound experience for people. It's called Your Soul's Reawakening, and that is initially the first level. And what happens on the retreat is split into 3 days, and it's run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what happens is on the first day, the very first day is all about you. It's really about understanding in more detail about the ego teacher, the higher self, really understanding the true purpose of values and how you live and work with your values. And when we do a lot of values work on day one, we come at it from a very personal perspective. We go right down into the feelings and the emotions that are associated with it, which then makes it easier for you to live every single day. The other thing that we do on day one is we take you on various journeys where you actually get to meet your animal guides, the power animals that are with you every single day, and where they actually reside within the world tree, the three levels, the lower world, the middle world, the upper world. And you'll get to meet your animal guides and to work with your animal guides throughout the 3 days. So day one is very much about you and where you originate from, where you come from. Day two is a very, very different day. Day two is about really putting everything into practice. It's about really starting to understand your true heart's desires. and how you can then, and actually what your true heart's desires are. So day two, we actually go out into nature. The retreat, the next coming retreat is in Glastonbury, which is the heart center of the world. It's in the UK. It's the 28th, 29th, and 30th of November. That's the last weekend in November. And on day two, what we do is we go out into nature. So we actually go to a beautiful place called Dragon's Mount. And Dragon's Mount is a very powerful energy vortex. People get to connect with the tree spirits. We go out in nature for about 3 hours. You really do get to connect with your heart. It's about really aligning your natural rhythms of who you are. At the end of that particular journey, which people always, always, always love, people have very profound experiences. They get to meet other animal guides that are out in nature. They get profound breakthroughs. What happens is we then come back to the venue, and I take you on a journey to five of your past lives. So you actually go back to five of your past lives. You get to meet your past life self. You get to understand your purpose, your role, how far back you've gone back. You get to, and specifically, you get to understand the learning that you needed to get in that lifetime that you actually didn't get. So you get that learning and this life, and it creates a ripple effect through all the dimensions of time back to this current lifetime. And then at the same time, I call upon a lot of master shamans who are always with us within the room, and they and people experience very large soul retrievals. So rather than having to experience the slow release of all this learning, etc., it can happen in a very, very quick space of time. What also happens on each morning on the retreat is people will come in, they will lie down, and people will receive a minimum of an hour's healing from me. So it's about lying down and just receiving, and it's about being taken care of. The whole weekend is about being taken care of. It's about you giving yourself the gift of you for 3 days. My team who come with me are all very highly skilled. They've all been through your soul's reawakening. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. And they get to share their experiences. But primarily, it's also about you. Above everything, it's about each of the participants getting their own experience. It's about having very personal attention over the 3 days. Day three is all about the ego. It's all about the ego teacher, and it's about how you work with your ego teacher. Everybody's ego teacher is different. I'll give you some examples. My ego teacher is a control freak. When we were in Denmark recently on the last retreat, we had a supreme judge turned up. We had a joker turn up. We had a clown turn up, had various different types of ego that were turning up. And also what happens is you get to meet your ego and you get to meet your higher self in another journey that we do, and you get to spend some time with them to understand how to work with them, how to get the best results for you this lifetime, how to get the fastest results this lifetime. And then we finish off with a very, very powerful closing ceremony, which people absolutely love. Each day builds on the previous. It is a three-day journey. We do not allow people to say, I can't make it Friday, can I come on the Saturday and Sunday? The answer would always be no, because you miss a whole lot of core content, and also you lose a lot of stuff which you would learn about yourself. So just to repeat, the three-day event, it's in Glastonbury. The next one is the 28th, the 29th, and 30th of November. The price is a very, very, very special price. Because it's the last one of the year, it is only £200 for 3 days. So, you know, if people are interested in coming along, I have 6 places left. The places are limited to 20 because I want people to get the personal attention. And so if people are interested, they can go straight on to my website, ClaytonAngel.com. They can go to event registration, and they can literally just click on your soul's reawakening and register for the event. If people want to know more about the event and how it can help them personally, I'm really happy for people to try to give me a call or send me an email, and I'll make sure that all their questions get answered.
Great. And from your experience, Clayton, what kind of people do you see drawn to the workshops?
Okay, that's again a really, really great question. When we were in Denmark, which was the most recent, that I had a chief financial officer came along. There was a lady who was, for example, in a wheelchair and was suffering from her whole body was suffering with arthritis, and she received a massive amount of healing over the weekend to the point where she is now actually coming when we run the next one. In February in Denmark, she's actually coming along to support me to help with some of the teaching. There's another lady who's coming along who, in the four walls of her home, lived a very powerful spiritual lifestyle. But as soon as she walked outside of her door, she became caught up in her ego. She was very much caught up in the material world. She became very worried about what other people thought about her. She got very much caught up in what her peers and her friends thought about her. And what she wanted to do was to totally align with who she was and to really start to live her truth. And we had a conference call the other night, and she is absolutely flying. She's really living the material and getting some incredible results. There was another lady who came back in February this year. She was a writer who had writer's block, came out of the retreat and started writing songs. There was a very good friend of mine who came, who's on his own spiritual journey, and but had a lot of fear around sharing his own story with the world. And what happened when he came out of the retreat? He's written a book. He now runs his own events. He's a great guy, and he's doing a lot of traveling at the moment and sharing his story. He came on the retreat back in February. And then there was a beautiful, beautiful soul on a Danish retreat, which we ran earlier this year. And she came on the event, and she couldn't sit down. She either had to stand up or lie down. And the first morning received a lot of healing, and because she had suffered with severe back pain for I'll probably say easily the last 10 years. After the first healing session, she said, okay, I feel comfortable about sitting up. After the second day, with all the healing that was received, she said that her back pain had totally gone. On day three, all the ladies couldn't believe how wonderful she looked. It was like that she had sort of grown herself younger. Her specific goals over the course of the weekend was to really align with who she was, to release her back pain, which she did. And also to find her twin flame, her soulmate. And very shortly after that event, I met her son, and she's met her twin flame soulmate. So it's different people will have their own different objectives, and everybody is welcome. From all walks of life, through from different cultures, everybody is welcome. And it is about people trusting their hearts about whether they need to be there. And I always trust that the right people always show up.
Well, he's really phenomenal. So, Clayton, we've come up to the hour, and I just really wanted to take this opportunity just to thank you wholeheartedly for sharing, like yourself tonight. Like, you've just given such a tremendous amount of distinctions and insights, but also like you've just shared so much of your own personal journey as well. And I just really wanted to acknowledge you for doing that and for pursuing your own truth, and as a part of that pursuit, actually leading other people to theirs. So, just really wanted to say thanks very much for sharing everything.
Thank you, Damon. I'm very, very grateful for the invitation. And if I just may say, for those people who didn't get their question answered, if they would like to email me their question, I would happily send them a reply. Also, if people would be interested in having a private one-to-one session with me, either having a reading or anything like that, then I would also be really happy to do that.
Okay, great. So, yeah, and thanks once again, everyone, for sending in your questions and for your full participation on these calls. It's a real pleasure to be able to serve you in this way and share some wonderful teachers and make this information more readily available throughout the world. Now, for those of you who would actually like to listen to this recording again or share it with friends, it will be made available tomorrow on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website for download for free. So, Clayton, in closing, I was just wondering if you had any closing words of inspiration for people who are literally sitting at home thinking about whether or not they should really step into this path of really finding their own personal truth.
What I would say is that your heart will never lie to you. Your heart always speaks its truth, and as long as you trust your truth, then you will live an absolutely unreal life. My wife and I, we look for miracles every day, and we see and we experience miracles every day. And it's just about really opening up your heart, opening up your eyes, and really seeing the awe and the wonderment of the person that is looking back at you from the mirror. And, I'm very, very, very grateful for everybody who has shown an interest in my messages and the work that I'm doing. I feel incredibly blessed to have met Damien and to be able to share this with you all this evening. So what I always say to people is, if there's anything that I can do to help you or support you, then please, please, please make contact. Make contact. Thank you again, Damien.
Awesome. Thanks, Clayton, and thanks, everyone. And we look forward to having you on a People You Should Meet call very, very soon. Take care, everyone.